No questions. Okay, tonight we're talking about Tanis Bechorim, or Tanis Bechoros, any way you want to pronounce it. I started researching the topic, and I think I've told people before, I like to generally do topics that are not so encompassing, so that we don't have so much to do, we only have a little bit of time. I thought this was a good topic, because, you know, how much could there be on it? Unfortunately, I was quite wrong. And there are many different, very interesting issues. I don't know how many people here are, show of hands, how many people are Bechorim? Not a lot of Bechoros here. But, there's a good number, and probably the extension to that is what I've come with Baruch Hashem the last three years, is that my son is a Bechor. So the halacha is Kepaskin, you must fast for him. Furthermore, listen to this. Kohen Levi, we're gonna discuss, Kohen Levi Bechor. Cesarean section Bechor, a woman Bechor. So if you have a sister, she might have to listen to this one as well. And I forgot that I usually start off with a story, and as I was trying to think of a story, I remembered an unbelievable story that really relates to this, and it really works out very well, because it's going to answer a lot of different halachas. I had an acquaintance of mine, I'm not going to call him a friend, because I haven't spoken to him in like 10 years. So one year, he went to... actually went to Hawaii for Pesach as a mashkiach. So he was, I guess, the mashkiach of the plane that went there. They chartered a flight. I mean, that's the way these beautiful things go, paying so much money. So, of course, you're going to charter a flight. They chartered a flight, and from what he realized, he was the rabbinical supervisor on that flight. He was the only person. Okay. So it turned out, this was kind of many, many years ago, I don't remember the exact, but this is the details I remember, that basically they had, the way that it worked, whether it was a red-eye flight, I don't know exactly how it worked, in the middle of the flight was going to be shacharis and then breakfast, except it was Erev Pesach. So they say shacharis, and he's looking around, and he's saying, I'm a Bechor, he happened to be a Bechor, what's going to happen here? So he looks, he doesn't know what to do with it, and all of a sudden, he hears from the loudspeaker, attention please, ladies and gentlemen, before breakfast, we now will have the siyum. Right? Beautiful, Baruch Hashem. But what gets on? A tape. It was a tape siyum that maybe somebody had done that year, maybe the year before, and it was a tape. And all the people who were going to Hawaii knew, they ate. This gentleman who was the Mashiach already saw a very serious kashrus problem. He couldn't eat. He was very upset. He got to Hawaii. And so he ran into the hotel, ran to the rabbi, goes, what kind of thing are you running? I'm a Bechor, what am I going to do now? So he says, not to worry. Anybody that asks this question, you're very lucky. There's a Chabad in whatever it is, Waikiki or whatever, they're having a siyum, you're just going to be on time, whatever it was, 10 o'clock in the morning, they're davening, they're having a siyum. But Baruch Hashem. So he takes a cab there, he goes to the siyum. There was no minion, there's about three people there. And he makes the siyum, and the siyum's over. And he's looking around for the spread, you know? So he says, excuse me, has the chief rabbi of Hawaii, whoever he is, and he says to him, where's the food? So he laughs, he goes, it's Erev Pesach, I'm going to have my wife Pyrus to make food. No, she says, if you want this, you could have a cup of water, there was a water fountain. So we'll see what the halacha is, if you go to a scene with no food, what happens? It's not so pashut that he can eat. That was his story, and he turned out, he said that, he didn't eat the whole day. Okay. So
why did not start off the right way?
Right, it didn't start off the right way, and then he saw a lot of other problems. I don't know if he ate the rest of the time either. Fine. So let's see what the halacha is here. This is the first time I've ever cut and pasted the first page. This is your second page, which is the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is Siman Tav Ayin, says Habachoros Mitananim Be'er Pesach. That the Bechoros are fast on Erev Pesach, Bein Bechor Mi'ah, Bein Bechor Mi'ein. The Yesh Misha Omer, She'afilu Nekeva Bechor Mitanah. That even a woman who's a Bechora, this is according to the Shulchan Aruch, Ve'ein HaMinakein, but the Ramah thankfully adds, this is not what our Minag is. Happens to be that Rav Yosef discusses whether or not a woman has to fast, and leaves it as, since we're makel anyway by this idea of a siyum, maybe they should go to a siyum. Then he says, but maybe that shows how light it is, maybe they don't have to anyway. Okay. And then in bed he says, Imchal Erev Pesach B'Shabbos, this actually is next year, V'yesh Omrim Shemesanim HaBechorim B'Yom Chamishi, V'yesh Omrim Sheinim Mesanim Chlal. The question becomes, what happens on Erev Pesach, that's on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast, when is the Tanis? Some people say it's Thursday, some people say that it is not at all. And this is a tremendous machlokas in the poskim, what exactly the halacha is. Somewhat based on the fact that the truth is that the reason why we are fasting is because of a specific event that happened that we commemorate only on Erev Pesach, and maybe no other time. And it's really not the same Tanis as we're used to. It's maybe even more similar to a Tanis Esther. It's not a Tanis, what's called a Tanis Shel Tzar. We're not commemorating a bad thing that happened. We're commemorating a nice that happened. So it's not a negative thing. So that's just as far as that, and I'm not going to get into that because it's a topic within its own on what the post can say about this thing. Look at the Haggadah here. Aval, yesh linho kisvar arishona. So he holds that you fast. Aval, kisha ha'av ha'bechor, ha'ein misana tachas b'no ha'bechora, kisha da'in katan. V'im ein ha'av b'chor, hu misana bi'ad b'no, ad she'yigdal. So this is an interesting halacha the Ramah brings. What happens if you're a b'chor and your son's a b'chor? So can you go to the Siyum kind of twice? Or maybe you can go to the 7 o'clock Siyum and the 8 o'clock Siyum. So he says, not good. The wife has to go for the son. This is an unbelievable thing. I've seen Paskin that many disagree with this. And say, let's not go so crazy that you don't have to, so he's saying actually really, he doesn't bring the halacha of going to a Siyum, which is interesting. So he basically says, you fast the whole day, and your wife has to fast the whole day. It's pretty unbelievable. And then he discusses a very important halacha. Well, Gimel ha'istinis misana me'er pesach teshiyachol masal teyavon. So there are people who are what's called istinis, which we'll discuss a specific case of this. An istinis is somebody who it's impossible for him. What? Right. Not a real prayer person. Istinis. The example I can remember is by Shiva Rahman al-Islam. So by showering, right? So we call him an istinus, but what we call ultra sensitive person. He's ultra sensitive, and right, right. Oh, right. Right. I'm funuk. Exactly. So people don't like to use that lashon. It's become a negative lashon. But an istinus is somebody who's ultra sensitive. So what is he ultra sensitive in? This we can't understand a man being this sensitive. But he fasts the whole day because shema at night. What's going to happen? He won't be able to eat. This is people like say on Erev Shabbos. Don't have a big meal on Erev Shabbos. So you could have the Shabbos meal. I've never had this problem. But okay, it's a problem. So, and therefore, fine. So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah in Aleph, cut and pasted into here, ha-bechorim, nisanim, l'nesh she-nitzlu ha-mi-makas bechoros. So the reason is because of the nesh that we were saved. However, the Birkei Yosef says, by the way, that the reason is because of pursuing Nisa. It's an interesting thing that the Birkei Yosef says is the whole reason has to do with presuming Nisa. And the way that we say it is that there's a machlokas here. I don't know if there's a practical ramification, but the machlokas would be, do we fast l'zecher ha'nes or l'farsim ha'nes? So maybe we can read into what the halacha l'maaseh says later on. Maybe we can say that there is something about this two differences. Is it because of presuming Nisa or l'zecher ha'nes? So then he says, what about kol ben b'chor? So he says, shemakas b'chor is hayasa b'kulam. As the Midrash says, so don't tell me that only a real b'chor. So we have a very interesting modern day problem, which is cesarean sections are a lot more popular than they were before, what's called yotze dofen. And so a cesarean section is not called peterechem. So halakhically, you're not considered a b'chor for nachla. Meaning, so we know that pidyon habein is not done on a cesarean section, just like it's not done for a kohen or a levi, and furthermore, it's not done for if my wife was a kohen or levi, or her father was a kohen or levi, also not a bas kohen levi. But when it comes to yotze dofen, so that's number one, and number two, this yotze dofen that came out, a cesarean section child, is not entitled to pishnayim, according to halacha. So, then what are we going to say when it comes to Tanis Bechorim? This is called Tanis Bechorim. I'm not a Bechor. My whole life I've been going around and everybody's been telling me you're not entitled to Pishnayim because you're a cesarean. What happened? So, however, the Mishnah Berurah Paskin and many Paskin like this, that you should probably fast, right, in these different cases. We'll see on the next page the case of what about somebody who is a convert, a ger, right? So what if he was a ger b'chor, right? He was a b'chor from his parents. So we'll see what the halacha is. Or maybe he's, what we say, a ger, is what shenolad is, like a katan. So maybe he's like a katan b'chor. Okay, we'll see. So then he discusses about somebody, a child that comes after a miscarriage. So if a child comes after a miscarriage, he still has the halachas of a b'chor as far as his fasting. Kohanim Levim, they have to fast. And the interesting thing that he does say, that this is such a makel fast day, v'nira de'im chash, is in the middle somewhere, he says, de'im chash, barosho, o be'enav, ein serf l'sanos. This is an important halacha, that we don't necessarily have any other fast days, except maybe for Tanis Esther, that even if you're a little bit weak, your eyes hurt you a little bit, right? You get that caffeine headache, you can definitely break your fast. Okay, so far, so good. He brings about what happens if, for some odd reason, there are 10 people who are fasting. So he thinks that you should not get up and you should not say, he should not down for the omen. Why? Because then you're going to have laning. And we know the halacha is that there's no fasting allowed in Chodesh Nisan, really. And we don't say tachanun, so now you're going to get up and you're going to fast. He says that's not appropriate. But here's the important part. Look at what I've underlined in the next paragraph. V'yesh makomos. Shenogu abachorim lahakel l'echol b'sudas mitzvah. That they have a sudas mitzvah. So first of all, if for some odd chance, and this obviously can happen, you have a bris, or you have a pidyon haben, how apropos, on that day, so everybody's allowed to eat. So this is not the general halachas we know on a fast day. I was at a bris on Tanis Esther. So even though the Ramah does quote by Tanis Esther, especially the Tanis Esther that is Muktam this year, which was on Thursday, even though it should have been on Shabbos, so he quotes that maybe you're allowed to, but he says you should make it up. That's the only problem. So who's going to want to, I don't know what. So, but here he says for sure, L'kulei Alma, no question, if you go to one of these sudas, no question you can eat, and not just you can eat at the bris, but you can eat after the whole day. Then he says, V'cheinu again k'hayom, v'kama mekomis v'dinya senu, l'hako l'achol as b'suda siyum mesechta. So even by mesiyum mesechet, we are noeg to eat. V'az ha'bechorim be'atmam lo lamdu es ha'mesechta. What about in a case, which obviously is very common today, they didn't even learn the mesechta, they're just there. Therefore, it's allowed v'minok mikapsin liyatamin kodim she'asiyum misayim lefneim ha'mesechta v'shobim v'starfim imo v'siyum v'akakach osin suda. So this is exactly what we do nowadays. B'chol kilos. I'm not aware of a different minok than this. That we all go to the siyum and have a siyum. And even though we're not even the Messiah, the fact that we're taking part in this Siyum mitzvah, so that for some reason is okay. And this is why Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha. It doesn't seem to be such a crazy machlokes, right? However, it is questionable.
Honestly, it seems a little strange because we're so makil on the fast.
Right.
But we're so machmir that all
the everybody has to fast.
I was in the Gateron once, and somebody came in at the Hadron.
Right.
And they read over Rabbi Kanifold, but he said, no, it's fine.
Uh-huh.
He said, no, don't worry about it. If you heard the Hadron, you could also. Uh-huh. And you'll say, so it's like a little bit weird.
Right. Yeah, but on the other hand, if you look at it the other way, we can say that since anyway, we're no way to do the siyum, so what's the big deal? We say everybody should fast, just in case. The truth is that by Yotze Dofen, by the case of the Cesarean section, there are those that pass and say no. The Kaf HaChaim, most notably, says that there's a Sufik here, and a Sufik, so you don't fast. Whereas the Pok Yaakov, which we quoted last week, Rav Yaakov Reisher, so what does he say? He says, Sarafiyun, he's not even sure. So Rav Yashav is quoted as saying that you should fast, it's good to fast, we'll see in the what the Shevet Halevi says. But, yeah, in some ways you're right, but on the other hand, maybe it's because it's so makel that we know they're going to be going to Siyums anyway, you might as well just stay. What's the big deal? You're going to stay for Torah, it's not the worst thing in the world. You decide to take the time. Yeah.
The reason why we do fast is because the Makos Bakoros, right?
Yeah.
So where does the Mekeva Bakoros sign? Where is that from that we have Mekeva? I thought it was only male.
Males that died.
Right. So where does the idea of Mekeva come
from? Yeah, so he... What?
You said before it was also Pesumen Yisra?
Right, so maybe it's Pesumen Yisra, but he discusses here...
Right.
Yechavadas, he discusses that, why he thinks, he doesn't understand why he says that, why the Shulchan Aruch says it, and then he goes ahead and he explains what it is. And one of the reasons, as you said, is possibly, it's hard to say because this isn't true, but that there's a machlokes whether or not the Tanis Bechorim was Bechorim or Bechorus. Meaning that maybe they did kill, but I think that the Mepharshim doesn't say that. But that's what he says, possibly why he said that. Or maybe, as we said, we're machmir on everybody should fast. It's interesting. Because we never say that by anything else. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. But, okay, so let's look on the next page so we can discuss some halacha l'maisa of what's going on here. What is the source of the Tanis? It's an interesting source. If you look in the number one, which I just took from the Chav Hadas, from Rav Avadya Yosef Sefer, where he discusses really where everything comes from. It's quite interesting. He says, "Hinei ikur haminog minhog tanis b'chorim b'choros be'erev ha'pesach nizkor b'mesechah sofrim." So it says in the Mesechah Sofrim. In the Mesechah Sofrim, it says, "Ein misanim ad she'ibor nisan ela ha'b'choros misanim." So we know you're not allowed to fast during Nisan. You're not allowed to say tachanun, so on and so forth, right? Starting from today, that's it. No tachanun for the rest of the month. And however. But what about Tanis Bechorim? So fine, so there might be mutter. And he says, so then he says about the Isthmus case. Bishvil Mitzvah, it's a Yishkinisuv Lataiva, so then he allowed it. But look at what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says as follows. This is in Arvei Pesachim and the Yerushalmi. So he brings the Gemara says as follows, that Rebbe lo haya ochel be'erev Pesach lo chametz v'lo matza. That he didn't eat chametz or bear pesach lo chametz lo matzah, i.e. nothing. Mishum shaya b'chor, because he was a b'chor. Uh-oh. So we see there's a mucker. It didn't say he went to see him. The hiksha al zev Rebbe mana. So he asked the following question: Sharei Avi, wait a minute. I remember my father. He was a b'chor. Haya b'chor, v'haya ochel bear pesach. How can it be? So there's a whole machloikis here. So he says no. The reason why Rebbe didn't have to do it because of Bechor. It had to do because he was Isthmus. What was the Isthmus case? The Isthmus case was that if Rebbe would eat too much on the day before, he wouldn't be have Teavon for the meal, and therefore, that was the reason. Obviously, this is very questionable, because why did he say, because I was a Bechor? Okay. Number two, if you don't like that support, so he quotes here in the end, and he goes through a whole pilpul in the Rishonim about this, but the Girsa of the Ramban, and the Ran is what? Amar Rabbi Mana, that he said, Mana Abba Bechor Have Velo Haya Ochel, that he did not eat. Right? So he changes the lashon from he did it to he didn't eat. Okay, fine. So, I mean, that's obviously changing it a lot. He's adding the word Velo in. It's questionable whether what exactly the case is, the pilpul and the rishonim, exactly what we hold from. Whether or not that's the source or not, if the source is Rebbe, how come he didn't have a siyum? So, but that's not really, it wouldn't be really be a raya why a siyum wouldn't be allowed. Because he could be machmir. Maybe he didn't want to do a siyum. Maybe he didn't want to do a siyum on the mesecta that he's quoted it. I don't know. So, that's not such a raya. The Aruch HaShulchan brings, as we did last week, when he also said, I told you it was a strong lashon, he also has a strong lashon here. And he says, what about today? So look in, this is in source number two. In the bracketed part, Onam Ato, today, Zeh Kamadorosh Shemekilim, there's already been many generations that are Mekel, Legamre, Betanis Bechorim, that are very Mekel, Betanis Bechorim, Behindu Besiyah Mesechta, the Lo Levad Halimut, Elah Bechorim, right, this is what we said, Mikatsim Sovid HaMesayim, Mesayim Yimot, not even like they're Mesayim something, where's the Simch here? No, they go around and they eat with him. I don't understand why this is the Tzav L'Hakel. Akach. The Im Loshin. Right, so he says, okay, so what's the reason? Excuse me, the reason is because the Doros are Cholosh. Right? This is a unbelievable thing in the Orchid Shulchan. Nowadays, even more so. How can we say that? How can we say that nowadays we're not as strong? The reason is because we eat so much. So not to have two potatoes and not to have a piece of bread wasn't such a big deal. Right? But not to eat, nebuch, what we eat, you know, not to have the fire poppers and the this and the that, that's much, much more difficult for us. And therefore, that we believe this, lahalacha, that the doors have become much weaker, and therefore we try not to, in many cases, add fast days, because it's very difficult for some people to fast. And he leaves it as a Sarkhian. He quotes the Inyan of underline about Maror. So maybe we shouldn't have Maror nowadays. It's very difficult for us. How can we have Maror? It's not a good taste. So we're weaker. We don't like the heavy taste. So, okay. And he leaves it as a Sarkhian. He quotes that this is what's done and everybody does it. So how can you say not to do it? They're talking about a Siyam, but he doesn't really get the reason why. It's interesting. I remember when I was in junior high school, there was a very, very big, probably one of the biggest fast days. It was the only time I could remember where they actually put a Kol Kore out that had the name of the Agudas Yisrael and the OU together. There was a terrible matzav in Eretz Yisrael, which at that time was the worst we had seen. Unfortunately, it seems to only get worse. And they had a fast day. So the school, I was in high school already, because remember, so the school, they wanted to as well, the school that I was in, they were going to have a fast day, the whole thing, so they were going to do a half a day fast. And the interesting thing is, when the Agudas Yisrael came out with it, the Torah Luminary Sages, whatever it's called, the Agudas HaRabbanim, so one of them had a no vote, and that was the Klusenberger Rebbe. The Klusenberger Rebbe said, you cannot put a Kol Kore out for tell people to fast. It's very nice that you fast. It probably was an Erev Yom Kippur, so people should fast anyway. But to put it almost a gezeira that you should fast, and to have the power of all the Rabbanim hold you should fast, it's not fair to people who really can't fast, but see, how can I not fast? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says I should fast, so whoever it was. It's very, very difficult. And he was very against it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that the Kol Kore had to come out because I think they believe that all the Rabbanim have to agree. And they wrote, except for the Klusenberger Rebbe, doesn't agree with that, right? Whether it was because of the Hasidim, he didn't want the Hasidim, whatever it was, he felt so this is really a reason that's brought down as that we're not as strong. So if you look at the Igros Moshe, he discusses a different Indian, but in the Tshuva where he discusses the Igros Moshe, in number 3, he says, Aval Mdinos, Sheruba, Deruba, Anshe, Mitzad Chaloshes, Hadoret, Ein Mitzadam Ela Osim, Siyam, B'mesechta, Shevazeg, right? So he says that, he quotes that this is an Indian. That people nowadays we don't fast anymore. And we have this with Siyam. And basically Rav Moshe was quoting this in regard to Erev Pesach Shechalios. So he says on Thursday, if you're going to make the Siyam, so it's going to be a Siyam anyway. It's not like we're telling them to fast. There's really no machlokas to say you should fast on a day that you're not supposed to fast. He doesn't have such a problem with it. And that's what Rav Moshe says. And in fact, this is quoted la'halacha in the Marshan, the Prichadosh, the Minchas Yitzchak, all quote this. Notably, the exception is the Shuvas Mi'ava quotes the Nodav Yehuda, who says that a person who does not fast on Tanis B'chorim is not doing the Ratzon of the Chachamim. This is not the intention of the Chachamim. Other than that, the Shuvas Mi'ava, almost everybody quotes this as a Minhag. It's interesting to point out the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah didn't say this. The Beis Yosef, obviously, is the Shulchan Aruch, but the Tor, Bach, don't quote this Lahalacha. But the Mishnah Berurah brought it down, and now everybody takes this upon themselves. The main reason being is we've become much weaker. And therefore, this seems to be the minhag. So let's just look at the last of getting this minhagim, is asking the question of, we've established for ourselves the following thing. We've established that we can do this nowadays. Okay? Let's say we all agree to that. So now we have to know, how do we do it? Okay? So the question becomes like this. Question is, take my B'nai Yishurin case. So every year when I go to the Siyum, well every year, for the last few years that I've had to go, so now I've not only had to hear it, I had to eat. So the same thing happens every year. I don't know why they don't get smarter about it, but it's one of the most popular davening days of the year. Why? Because it's one of the superstitions, right? Even though you can have somebody who is not as frum, maybe other days doesn't daven B'minyan, but when it comes to the Tanis, he has to hear the Siyum. To the point that there are people who just come for the Siyum. They don't put tefillin on, they just come for the Siyum. They're so scared. How can they fast? It's an amazing thing. And therefore, they get this unbelievable crowd, and they come out, and there's hardly any food left. So the same thing happens every year. The rabbi before announces, please just take, they have munchkins. Dunkin' Donuts munchkins, please take one munchkin and leave, and you know, so let people, hundreds of people, so on and so forth. The question is, whether or not this is okay. Does it have to be a Siyum that's passed? So that's probably not true. But what if you don't eat? What about this guy that only had water? Is that good enough? Do you have to have anything? What if you're not hungry? Right. So the question is going to be, where does the simcha aspect come in? Right. Is the mamish the simcha come in that you are with the guy and you're happy with him? You know, like the tachan, the joke with tachanan, right? So the guy comes in, the chasan comes in on the Thursday, and he's all tachanan. So you're very, very happy. Are you happy for the chasan? No, not really. You're happy they're not saying tachanan. But the point is supposed to be, the reason why we don't say tachanan is because there used to be a time, certainly in a close-knit type of shul, you truly felt very happy for the chasan, right? So, the same thing over here. Your question is a good question. That's going to be the chiluk. When do we consider it a sudas? Is it a sudas mitzvah, or is it just some sort of simcha? So look at the Emes Yaakov. The Emes Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, so he wrote the Emes Yaakov was on the Parsha, and one of his grandsons, Rav Daniel Neustadt, wrote Emes Yaakov, which is basically not really Shailas Teshuvas, was on the Shulchan Aruch. So in this siman, he quotes the first thing I quote on the top, before Yotzei Dofen, Yesh Lachanos Mifnei Hashmua, that it was told to him that a Yotze Dofen, it says, Yaron Sefer should fast. But this is our important part. Ilo v'term atso michogo satanas al yidei yishtatos v'siyam yesh lahem liyizahir shlo le'echo o lishtos kodem asiyam. That's the first important point. So for some reason, if and this is possible, you were having the siyam later in the day, or you couldn't go to davening until 8 o'clock, and you want to have your coffee in the morning, he says that you shouldn't have it, because you're really not, it's not mutter for you to eat. Fine. And then he says, just skip over to the underlying part, v'sorachim l'echol kezayis v'siyim. You have to have a kezayis. And when we say kezayis, it's talking about a kezayis of mizonos. So kezayis is not such a small amount. It's certainly not one munchkin. Right. U'murtu l'echol mimatal sotfilim. It's an interesting thing too. Kefiya shemua. So he's heard that he allowed even to eat. Normally we don't allow you. You're not supposed to eat with tal sotfilim. I think this is a practical reason. Because by the time you take your tefillin off, you're going to be gone. But Mimele, I think you could take it filling up during the siyum, shouldn't be a problem. So, that's what he quotes. So, what we're going to have to ask is, what do we hold halacha l'maaseh here? So let's look at the source, the Shailas Teshuvas, Truth of Hanagos on the right. So he discusses, or Sternbach says as follows. He says, Noagim, Nohagu, Habachoris, Lo Misanish Kishiyeh Siyum. Right? This is what our minhag is. We don't fast when there's a siyum. Aval, Nahakti, Li Zohir, Habachor. Right? He has to have the shear. What shear? This is, by the way, a problem related to Pesach. On Pesach, you have let's say you have a kiddush on Pesach. So if you have a kiddush on Pesach, we hold, what's the halacha? The halacha is, that when you make kiddush, it has to be, you have to have a suda, right? So, the question is, what is the halacha, what do we hold? So we hold that, or many of us hold, that you could say mizonos. You could have a suda of mizonos, right? That means though, after the kiddush, you have to make sure, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, I mean it's not really according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, but this is the halacha, Rav Moshe's quoted to say this, it's the same thing as when you wash on Shabbos. So we're makbid on this, when it comes to Pesach. By Pesach, we're very mocked. What do we do on Pesach? So when we have the kazayas of matzahs and nobody talks, and they have the kazayas within the 2 minutes, right? That seems to be everybody holds that way. The truth is, that's not just the halacha by Pesach. That's the halacha by Shabbos. That's the halacha by Yontif. When you make hamotzi on Shabbos, so there's a mitzvah to have shal shudas, which means there's a mitzvah to have a kazayas of bread. So probably at least a slice of challah. You have to sit and you have to eat, right? Oftentimes what happens is if you have guests over, so the wife takes a little piece, she eats the piece, and she goes to serve the course, and she's not completed her shear. And that might be a problem. If you don't have it within the two and a half minutes, whatever the time is, that might be a problem. And therefore, we have a problem by Pesach. Because normally, so we say that you could have a mizonos by air. So this is also not so easy. You have to make sure that you have to have a mizonos. So if you go to a kiddush, and you just have the cholin, you just have the kugel, so it's problematic. By mizonos, you have to make sure to have the shear of mizonos so you can make an ala milchia. What happens on Pesach? So on Pesach, there's no mizonos, right? Unless you know for sure that the cakes have enough matzah meal in it, that you make a mizonos, and it's enough matzah meal to say this is a big problem on Pesach, because it's not the same. Obviously, they don't bake things the same, so there's a problem of knowing exactly what you make a mizonos on. But let's say you go to a very firm hotel, Nishka Brox, right? No Gabrox. So everything's shahakal. So how can you go to a kiddush? Because you're only going to be making shahakals. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, you have to have a revius, you just have to make kiddush on a revius, it's not a big problem. You have to have, so some people say that you have to have the revius anyway when you make kiddush, so then you have to have another revius. So it would be two cups of grape juice, two cups of wine, but then you can make ala gefen and that should be fine. But in this case, he says you have to have a shear that's enough to make an ala gefen, to make an ala amichya. That's important. Right? Very good, you've done a great job, and you've heard a seum, but you're not mevatel your tanis. Right? You go home, and you said, I tried to get there in time, I didn't get there in time, and then you have a big problem. And therefore, imlo shigimar imhem kol hamasechta sha'az afilu lo ochel b'siyam ochel v'atol v'vad kamoshi v'vir. So now he's going to ask the question, what do we do nowadays? For some reason you can't. Okay, so this is what he says. So you should have the shear mazonas, right? You should have a kosevis of mazonas. Zer yosim ekazayis kov lebeitza, right? This is more than a kazayis, even says. It's what's called a kosevis in the halacha. The im e efshar al kalpanim mali lugum of yayin hamikdaktim mishtam leechol, right? So it's better. This is, it says the same thing, right? But he's talking about Sudas Mitzvah as well. So, the Kosevis, the Sudas Bris. So, the Kulam Moli She'ein Tzarech Luso. Right? So, if you have that, it's fine. So then he says, go to the next paragraph. Heina Emes, She'anu Makilim Bitsum, Lubacharas, Kevan She'ein Zet Yisob Bibavli Rishamli, Kimivur Sherebi Lo Hisane Batanas Bafarim, Mechain Lo Yibarambam. It's not really a source. The Rebbe is not really such a source as Yerushalmi. A little bit. The Rambam doesn't quote this. We hadur chalash mode, and we know we're very weak. Right? If you fast all, you're going to get a headache, and how are you going to be able to eat properly? Fine. Okay, fine. So then he says, Maran, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, Shamati, Shehiskin, Kibnik Shafil, Lo Gomar, Hamasechta rak ochel v'shoset b'simchas asiyum levad imayim die v'kach nifkur litzam. So he says the minhag she'afilu if he didn't finish lo gomer hamasechta he himself. So he says it's mutter. Not saying that you don't have to finish a masechta, but you don't have to be the siyum. Then he says he quotes the Rebbe of Sefraim. I've seen this quoted up many many times. It's amazing. He quotes actually the minhag Yitzchak, and the next thing he quotes the Rebbe of Sefraim. We've said many times Rebbe of Sefraim, Rebbe Ephraim Grumblat. Who lives in Memphis, Tennessee, who's a preeminent Pesach. And he quotes Rav Moshe many times. I think he learned by Rav Moshe. So he says as follows. The Sefer Ruvay Sefraim, so he brings the a question of what happens if you went to a siyum and you didn't eat. Im yachol achrak le'echol b'beitzo. The dvarav, af shalo ochol kevan l'shtatze b'yom tov the siyum, yachol le'echol gam. He's allowed to eat in his house, and he dies in Yerusha, calls there, im hu gam kein mesayim mohem. So the shales of Chuvah Shuvah in August, Rav Shturmbach says something that I don't think that the Rebbe of Sefraim had in mind. The Rebbe of Sefraim seems to say that if you don't go to the Siyam, if you go to the Siyam and don't eat, you can eat at home, don't worry. And he says, no, the Rebbe of Sefraim was talking about a case when I was the Messiah. And people asked me questions after, and by the time I got to the table, there was nothing left. I don't think the Rebbe saw it. I didn't see it inside, but I've seen other people quote it as Lasad Lahakel. I don't know, I'm not sure that really that's what he meant. I think he was really Mako. And he said, no, the important part is the Torah part, and that's the part that we have to be careful with. So you took away my last part of the Shir. So that's what I want to say, maybe. Maybe that's the chiluk between the Pesumin Nisa and Zecher L'Nes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Zecher L'Nes. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you have to hear the Siyum. You don't have to go be part of the Suda. There's no part of the Suda. The Zecher L'Neis. So I'm Pater because of Zecher L'Neis. But if it's Pesumin Nisa, so I would think not only do you have to hear the Siyum, but you have to go to be Mishati with the Simcha, to Pesumin Nisa. Why are we eating today? It's a happy day because of, we're only having this, we're not having Stama Siyum. It's not like we say on Tisha B'Av, I don't think. I never saw this written. What do we say in the 9 days? In 9 days, you can't finish the Masechta just so you can eat on the 9 days. If it happens to be, fine. But we don't say that by Tanis. People, you're allowed to prepare so that you finish on it. This is what the minhag is. It's a happy. So your dad's doing the Siyam, so you have the Siyam. So I think that then maybe that's the chiluk he's going to make between the Eli Rabba and the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah would say, possibly, that new, you only have to listen to the Torah. That's what's important. But if it's Lefarsim Anais, then you have to be part of the Suda. You have to be the whole thing. So, the Harav Yosef and Rav Avad Yosef and the Ben Ishchai say as follows. What happens in a case if you don't understand what is being said? Right? So let's say you find yourself in the middle of Bar Park, you go to your Siyum and it's in Yiddish. Right? Sometimes I get tapes. I take tapes out of tape library. I'm very happy. Finally I can hear of Matzkel Solomon. I put it in. I don't understand the word. It's in Yiddish. Or in a better case, really, someone who doesn't understand Torah so much, right? He comes to shul, or you get this guy who just come back from Israel, and if he wants to show how firm he is, and he gets up and he goes, "Nu dachilik in the briska rav," and he goes in and he doesn't understand a word this guy said because he's using all these Yiddish words, so on and so forth. He doesn't really understand, right? And when they ask him, sometimes when you come home and your wife says to you, "What was the siyum on?" I have no idea. So the question is, is that good? So these people, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Rav the Ben Ishchai, say you're not Yosef. Furthermore, and although B'toch Shiva, who has to hear a Siyum, right, he cannot hear a Siyum. Why can't he hear a Siyum? He's not allowed to learn Torah. And therefore, he can't. However, it's quoted in the name of Rav Fisher, preeminent Poisek in Eretz Yisrael, not no longer alive, and Rav Moshe, that we're making nowadays. Rav Yosef says that the eating is not the ikar. In fact, like the Reuven Ephraim, the ikar is the siyum. I'm not sure the Reuven Ephraim goes as far as saying that's what the ikar is, but he says that's what the important part is, the Torah. The Torah is the important part. How can we say the Torah is not the important part? That's the important part. So if you didn't, it's okay. So go home and you eat. You're allowed to eat the rest of the day. That's exactly what the Shel Tshuva's Eretz HaTzvi says. In the Eretz HaTzvi, he says that there's a big difference between this fast day and other fast days. Whereas this Tanis is not a Tanis of Tsar, it's, let's say, a Tanis of Simcha. And therefore, we're not going to tell you that you can only eat now. You eat for the rest of the day, because the Shame Tanis is gone. And therefore, it's 100% mutzah for you to eat. So, the last thing that I want to bring up is this idea is also brought in the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, brings about this case of about if you're not there, you come late, so on and so forth. What's the halacha? So, first of all, to give you a little background, the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Ches, in Simon Memhei, says as follows. He says, what happens in a crazy case that you need to make a siyum, you have a whole family of 10 people going away, none of them can do a siyum, and the whole family's going away, they're not going to be able to hear a siyum. So why can't you make the siyum at night? After the bedikah, you have a party, a siyum, and the person who's being the siyum makes an announcement, and he says, everybody, my suda tomorrow is the suda, everybody can eat tomorrow. Is that good enough? So he goes back and forth on this, quoting the Chavos Yair, whether or not this is good or not. He quotes the Chavos Yair, he says, with sudas that Shlomo HaMelech had for a week, was one siyum, and they had a suda for a week, so maybe it should be good. On the other hand, the Minchas Yitzchak says, wait a minute, if the Messiah is not going to be at the suda, what are you doing? You're eating because of something that happened yesterday, he's not so sure that would be okay. However, if for some reason he can only do the siyum the night before, and then he's with you, and he decides that he wants to see him the next day, he said that should be okay. But he says in this tshuva, he says in this tshuva as follows. What happens if you go to the Suda and you didn't eat? He says, V'hinei, starting from the beginning, V'haya etel asiyam, V'lo achal mi-ha-Suda, Dino kama gedoli Torah, asher asifim v'sechas ruvay Zephrayim, that are written in ruvay Zephrayim, what happens? V'yesh, shedonu l'hachmir, V'hu, apiha mivur, v'chuas eretz atzvi, V'yesh bet dinam b'chol tanas. There are tzvei dinim, there are two dinim when it comes to tanus. One, mitzvah l'tanus. Two, the isur of achila. The im came af im kvar achel. Right, so he says that there are two dinim, and basically if you've eaten already, so there's no shame tanus anymore, right, this is the old story. what happens if by mistake you eat on the Tanis? Do we say the Tanis is over? But we don't hold that way. The Tanis is not over. You're supposed to continue to fast. But in this case, so it's a little bit different. He quotes, if you look at the last paragraph that I've underlined, L'chachila nochon shiyochol sham b'makam hasiyam kishir v'lo samach al shitas, though you shouldn't hold like the different shitas that say you can. However, if you didn't, it's still okay, which is what most people seem to say, that you don't really have to have the food. I've seen a few people quote that the food part is important as well, but it seems that we, I think, are mekel, and you only really have to hear the siyam. Certainly, if you only come for the food part, probably not good. However, it's interesting, I wasn't able to find it, that we had the Shaila on the 9 days. So we had family, we have a family member who does a Siyum every year, and he had a Siyum, and there was traffic, whatever it was, and the people came, and he was done already, and they were having the Siyum. So they didn't eat. They only had salads, whatever. And then I saw later on written that there are some poskim who say that this is a Suda's mitzvah. So the fact that he didn't hear the Torah is not important. This is part of a Suda's mitzvah, and he could eat. That would be a shaila. It would certainly be a shaila on where we quoted Rabbi Yashav saying that if you don't understand, so then it's not you haven't learned anything. Obviously, this Rabbi Yashav goes with what Rabbi Yashav says about the ikkar is the Torah, because he says if you don't understand the Torah, then you're not there. If you understand the eating part, so that's very nice, but that's not the point. So possibly, as I said, to end off, then maybe it's based on this machlokas, and maybe also the Yotze Dofen is also based on this machlokas. The case in the Sheva Halevi number 5, where he says about a ger, what are they considered? And then we quoted that Rabbi Yashav says that possibly a person should fast. Everybody should fast. It's not a, why not? Just fast. You're going to see him anyway. So maybe that's also based on whether it's Zecher L'Neis or Pursumi Nisa. And that could be a possible machlokes here of what we hold from. Yosef Mitzvareinu, what we've certainly seen is that there certainly is an inyan for all Bechorim, for all fathers whose sons cannot yet come to the Siyam. It's funny, I remember asking Rav Aaron Soloveitchik about this, really stupid question. He was 1 year old, my son, and I said, should I drag my son along, even though he's not going to understand, so he should be there, he should go. He said, no. Of course, he goes, what do you mean? You're there, don't worry about it. You're going to bring your son, you're going to drag your son, you're going to make noise. He doesn't know what's going on. So that would go with Rav Yashav saying, he's not going to understand anyway, he wouldn't be, right? If there was some way that I could bring my 3-year-old son and tell him to sit here while I go home and I'll pick you up later, so I still would probably have to fast. That would be the inyan. But b'cholza, we see that most cases we hold from this inyan of having a siyum, and it shows, by the way, the power of the Torah. There's a lot of machlokes, which we won't get into tonight, about what exactly a person can be messianic, right? Can it be just a masechta? Obviously we hold the masechta, just a mishnayas. What about just one mishnayas? What about Zohar? So different things. Whereas the whole idea really is, I think, involved around Torah, the chashivas of Torah. That's really what creates simcha in our lives, and we have to realize that Baruch Hashem, we should be able to have a bris on that day, so then it's l'kuli amal yokei, or you have pidyon habein, but it shows that a tanis can be totally wiped out for a siyum. We see this by the 9 days too, and many of the halakhas relate to the 9 days as well, that when it comes to the 9 days, as important as of Korban HaBayis, there's such chashivas, importance for Torah, that we even say, you know what? An entire fast day is canceled just because we show how important it is for someone to be Messiah Masechta. The joy that they have to be Messiah Masechta, we're going to allow you to have meat today. And that's a very important idea that we should take with us to Pesach. Yes, it's a Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's a Geula, but the Geula didn't happen stam. It happened with a Kabbalah Satorah that's going to be coming up after Pesach, where we counter that idea of a Geula that comes with Torah.